Mets Musings is brought to you by FanDuel. FanDuel is the leader in one-day fantasy sports for money with immediate cash payouts, no commitments, and leagues from a dollar. Sign up at FanDuel.com and use the promo code METSMUSINGS. So remember, sign up at FanDuel.com and use the promo code METSMUSINGS.
Now it's time for some New York Mets baseball talk. Here's Gary Mack bringing you the latest news and analysis from Mets Nation and the world of baseball on another edition of Mets Musings.
And hello and welcome to another edition of Mets Musings, episode number 245. Hope everybody had a great week out there. Better week than the Mets had over the weekend. Since we last talked to you, they went to Colorado and got swept away. Not a good weekend. Bad umpiring cost them a couple of games. Just no hitting. The pitching didn't come through. Everything was just awful. And what you hated to see was to have a series like that right before coming home to play the Washington Nationals three games. And luckily they were off Monday, but Tuesday night, they pitched Noah Syndergaard, and he outdueled Max Scherzer by tossing seven scoreless innings in a 2-0 win against the Nationals. Syndergaard struck out 10, including Bryce Harper twice, and allowed five hits on 102 pitches. Scherzer, coming off a 20-strikeout game, also struck out 10, but gave up two runs, three hits, and three walks in 6 1/3 innings. The game marked the first time opposing pitchers each had 10 or more strikeouts in the same game this season, according to ESPN Stats and Info. That was Tuesday night. Wednesday was a totally different story, as Bartolo Colon lasted a season-low 4 2/3 innings in an uncharacteristically wild for him. The veteran right hand allowed three runs on five hits, issued a season-high five walks, and hit a batter. Colon had not walked five batters in a start since April 26, 2005. Yoenis Cespedes went 2-for-5, briefly tied the game for the Mets in the bottom of the fourth, blasting a solo home run off of Gio Gonzalez. His 13 homers are tied with Nolan Arenado for the most in the National League. Trailing 5-1 in the bottom of the seventh, the Mets loaded the bases with one out but failed to score. David Wright returned to the lineup after missing Tuesday's game with back soreness and went 0-for-4 with three strikeouts. Juan Lagares made a spectacular over-the-shoulder catch to rob former teammate Daniel Murphy of extra bases in the seventh, and that was some catch. If you did not see it, go check it out. It is a terrific catch. And as we are recording this tonight, the Mets are already down 2-0 as Daniel Murphy came back to haunt us again by hitting a two-run homer off of the dark night, or the light night, maybe we'll call him, because Harvey is just not doing very well this year, and he really needed tonight to go out and pitch like Syndergaard did Tuesday night to dominate. And here he got touched up already in the first inning for two runs on a home run and putting his team in a hole already. So not a good start tonight, but hopefully they'll get to Strasburg. Maybe he won't have his good stuff. And in other news, Steven Matz is all set to rejoin the rotation and start Friday at home against the Brewers. Matz does not have any structural damage to his elbow. You remember they held him out a start because he had a soreness in his elbow. But he only had some discomfort, and everything looks good. And he should be back to pitch tomorrow night against the Milwaukee Brewers. And according to the New York Post, Bartolo Colon has been taken to court by a mistress who he has two secret children with. The suit claims that the 42-year-old pitcher, who is married to his wife of 21 years, hasn't been paying child support for his secret 7-year-old daughter and 8-year-old son. I don't know. What can I tell you? I think it definitely affected his performance the other night. For sure, it's got to be on his mind as the story broke and got out in the press. It was kind of his own fault, though. The court case was scheduled as anonymous versus anonymous, but he represented himself briefly in the custody dispute, and his name went down as an attorney in the case, and that sabotaged the anonymous shield the former couple had been granted by a judge. So now it's all over the papers, and who knows what's going to happen. But I think it affected his performance the other night, though he claims it did not. It was not a good performance by him, not a good performance by the team. The team is not hitting again. And look, this, you know, David Wright, God love him, is a terrific person and a great ball player, but he looks old, folks. He looks like that back is wearing more on him than perhaps we even can know of. And I don't know, it's not a good situation at this point in time, and he probably should be dropped in the lineup at this time because it just doesn't help to have him coming up in key hitting situations and striking out or making out all the time. So, but, you know, that's we're going to have to reach that conclusion when the time comes. And the Mets general manager, Sandy Alderson, says he had pre-planned surgery last week as part of his cancer treatment and that the procedure was fantastically successful. The 68-year-old hasn't revealed what kind of cancer he has and said Tuesday that he would keep that information private. Alderson spoke before New York hosted Washington on Tuesday. He said the surgery he had last Wednesday had been planned in December and that he doesn't expect his illness to curtail his duties. I feel very well. I feel well in the context of probably requiring a couple of weeks for full recovery from a surgery, he said. Alderson said no other future surgery was scheduled. So, Sandy Alderson seems to be doing good with his cancer treatment for whatever type of cancer he is fighting at this point in time. One other injury of note, Travis d'Arnaud is not with the team. He's in California with a personal trainer trying to get strong. No idea when he may come back. We've heard everything from a couple of days to possibility of the All-Star break, and I would aim more for the All-Star break if I was him, or the Mets should count more on that, him coming back at that point in time, because it doesn't seem like whatever he is trying to strengthen here, it doesn't seem to be working. And again, we have another issue of Travis d'Arnaud injured again and on the shelf. So it's a good thing they got Plawecki and he's starting to show signs of hitting. So that could be a good thing. At least we'll see what Plawecki can do in a long role as the starting catcher, the number one guy. All right, let's take a break and I'll be back with my special guest right after this.
Hey, baseball fans and book fans as well. This is Frank Nappy, author of the Legend of Mickey Tussler series, inviting all of you to learn more about my protagonist, Mickey Tussler, an incredible pitching prodigy who has autism. Follow Mickey's journey as he captures the hearts of fans everywhere with his blazing fastball and indomitable spirit. Please visit Amazon or www.franknappy.com for more information.
Hi, this is the world-famous Mr. Brewtown of BrewtownSports.Podomatic.com. You know, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Brewtown Sports. You can also listen to the show at Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, and iTunes.com. And we've got the new one. It's called BrewtownRadio.Webley.com. But the one that I'm most proud of being on is BaseballPodcast.net. It is the home of great baseball talk shows. Check it out, my show and all kinds of other programs all about Major League Baseball. So check it out. That's BaseballPodcast.net, the home for great baseball talk shows.
The Phillies and Mets rivalry has never been better. Hi, my name is Rich Baxter, and I host Phillies Talk Podcast. I hope you'll join me, along with my co-host, James Jim Mulry, as we talk all about the Phillies all season long. That's Phillies Talk Podcast at FightinPhillies.com. And now back to Gary Mack and this great edition of Mets Musings.
That is the comment voicemail hotline if you'd like to be a part of the show. And drop us a line, leave us a comment or a voicemail question, anything at all. Call that number, 516-619-6341. Or go to MetsMusings.com and click on that widget in the middle of the screen, and that's a speak pipe, and you can leave a voicemail right through your computer through your computer's microphone. Or if you prefer to do things the old-fashioned way, send us an email at MetsMusings@gmail.com. The Facebook page is facebook.com/groups/MetsMusings, and the Twitter handle is at MetsMusings1. And welcome back. And I'm joined this evening. This is always a fun time when the Brewers come in because we get to talk to the one and only, the world famous Mr. Brewtown. And he's on the line. He's joining us this evening. Mr. Brewtown, welcome back to Mets Musings.
Hey, Mr. Brewtown, joining us live via the Skype line. I always love that. You know, when you're watching, like, you know, a big sports program on ESPN or Fox Sports 1, and they're spending $100 million to put this show on, and then they go, joining us via the Skype line. Skype's free. Come on. You guys you can't do a satellite. I know Gary, you know, you've got the big campaign going on with Mets Musings. You know, send us in. You're like PBS now. You've got your, you know, hey, send us your money. You know, we need money. No, it's good to join you, Gary. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm always nervous when I come on your show. I don't know why. Maybe it's that little Mets goober you got behind you there. I'm really becoming afraid of that little dude, man.
You mean Chucky?
Chucky. Yeah. I don't know. It's that red hair and that look on his face. You know, he kind of looks like he should be hanging out at, Target, you know, because he's now into the transgender, use whatever bathroom you want kind of look.
All right. Let's get going here. The Brewers are coming in, and the Brewers are off to a better start than anybody thought they were going to be. Everybody thought they were going to be a horrible team, and they're actually off to a pretty decent start this year. So is it all on Craig Counsell, or are they just letting these young guys play and they're coming through? What's the deal?
You know, I'm going to say this, and hopefully none of my listeners, the big Brewers fans that listen to my show, Brewtown Sports, listen to this, because everybody now is really on the Craig Counsell. Oh, Craig Counsell, he's the manager we've been waiting. Craig Counsell is a lousy manager. He was a good baseball player. He's a good guy. He's from Milwaukee. The guy makes mistakes all the time. I mean, mistakes that just make no sense to me, that anybody who is at a position that they've been handed a job and a team should never make. He just doesn't seem to understand what's going on around him. So I would say it's more on the players than it is on Craig Counsell. Our coaching staff is decent. It's new. There's a lot of new faces, but we still have Ed Sedar out at third base. He's absolutely probably the worst third base coach in all of baseball. He also makes mistakes. He doesn't seem to understand what's going on. I think it's just the players. We're young, we're athletic, we're talented, and you know, it's their chance to make the major leagues. I don't think a lot of them that are on the team right now are going to be here in 4 or 5 years, because we're rebuilding. You know, we're going the route that the New York Mets went, and the Houston Astros and the Chicago Cubs, to great success, by the way, and the Kansas City Royals. But, you know, it's an exciting young baseball team to watch, and we get a great bullpen this year.
And part of that is you have like 4 or 5 ex-Mets on your team. You got Blaine Boyer and Chris Capuano. And let's see, Carlos Torres, he with the rubber arm. And of course, Captain Kirk, Kirk Neuenheis is there. And actually, we were talking a little bit before we went on the air, and Kirk's having a pretty good season so far.
Yeah, not bad. You know, defense is more his game. He plays a good center field. He's filled in right field, and you know, he's got some speed out there in the outfield. He can make some good catches, and he's got a decent enough arm. And at the plate so far this year, he's doing all right. He's batting 278. He's got a couple home runs, 14 RBIs. You know, he's stolen three bases, and you know, but he's inconsistent. He'll go up and down. But as long as he's over 250 for most of the season, I'll take that. You know, he's not going to be our starting center fielder for the next couple of years. I think this year, and then you know, they're going to come up with some big stud, you know, in the draft, and next year that will be our big stud center fielder.
And you're getting some decent play out of Chris Carter, who is really, I would have to say, from what I've seen, is really sort of like the Dave Kingman of this generation. He either hits the ball out of the park or strikes out. But yet you seem to be getting a little production out of him.
You know, we really are. This was one of those things. We've had, since Prince Fielder left, we have had nothing over at first base. I mean, nothing. We've had something like 22 different people at first base over the last 3 years. And when they announced that Chris Carter was going to come in and play first base, the guy batted like 199 last year. He's sweet. You know, but in Milwaukee, as long as you're in home runs, they don't care. They really don't. You know, Gorman Thomas, Rob Deere. And you know, we were kind of like, okay, you know, is this a direction we're going? And so far this year, I mean, he's got 12 home runs, 29 RBIs. Now, the big thing is he's already got 12 doubles. So he's either hitting a double, a home run, or he's striking out. There's nothing else. I mean, he's not going to hit a triple. I don't think he has more than two singles all season. So, you know, he's getting the job done. He's playing a good first base, and he seems to like Milwaukee. And sometimes that's all a player needs. And whatever he's eating, whatever restaurant is giving him good food, or whatever fan is giving him whatever, if you know what I'm saying, keep it up, because Chris Carter could become a fan favorite.
And speaking of somebody's giving him something, Ryan Braun's having a pretty decent season too, putting up close to all-star numbers again.
Oh, he is all-star numbers. Batting 364, 7 home runs, 28 RBIs. You know, this guy is probably playing the best baseball that he's played before he started chewing the gummy bears. And, you know, but he's always got those little injuries. You know, he'll miss a game or two, you know. But Ryan Braun, I think, is playing great because he has to play great. Because the Brewers are going to have to trade him. If they really want to succeed in this rebuild, you got to move Ryan Braun's contract. You got to. And the only way you're going to be able to move it is to have Ryan Braun bat 364 and Ryan Braun play at this level. And really, since last August, Ryan Braun's one of the hottest players in baseball. And like I said, so Ryan Braun understands the game. He understands the business of baseball, and he knows that he's going to get traded, and he's going to want to get traded somewhere where they're going to win. And also, he knows that, you know, he's going to have, because they're going to eat up his contract, they're going to have to take a huge part of the contract, and not a lot of teams are going to do that if you're only batting 285. And so, you know, we'll see how long that lasts. But I think Ryan Braun right now, you know, he could, if he continues to play the way he's playing, he could be an MVP candidate.
He's certainly having a good season, and you make a good point, but that contract's going to be tough to move. They're going to have to pick up a chunk of that contract if they want to move that.
Yeah, and what are you going to get for Ryan Braun? You know, teams know that you want to move the money, so some teams might take a little bit more. They may say, well, we'll take 70% of the contract. You guys can pay the other 30% up, but we're not going to give you anything in return. We're going to give you a couple of low-level prospects. You know, we're not going to, you know, if any team, if the Brewers start asking for, we want your top prospect and then two of your double-A prospects, you know, the teams are just going to say, well, then we're only going to take 40% of the contract. You pay the rest. And the Brewers just can't afford it anymore. Mm-hmm. It was a bad contract when they did it. you know, but they decided Ryan Braun would have a longer career than Prince Fielder. That's what it came down to. And I disagreed with it at the time. I think Prince Fielder is and still playing great. Still, he was a better team leader. You know, I don't think the Brewers would be in a position that they're in now if they'd kept Prince Fielder. They would have had to pay Prince Fielder a huge amount of money, but I think you would have gotten more in return. Not just in numbers, but in leadership. Ryan Braun is not the leader of the Milwaukee Brewers, and I don't think he'll be the leader of any team. It's all about Ryan Braun.
Well, another guy, too, that looks to be moved, I think they really would have to, would be the catcher, Jonathan LaCroix. And from what I read, there are some guys in the minors. There are some prospects that they're high on. So what do you think the chances of moving LaCroix, and what would it take to get him? Because, you know, the Mets are down a catcher now with Travis d'Arnaud injured again, and Kevin Plawecki's doing a very good job filling in, but would be nice to have a veteran catcher on his staff. So what would it take, and do you think they will move him?
Well, they've been talking about it since before the season. What it's going to take is Jonathan LaCroix is going to have to okay any deal that they make. And the Brewers right now, because they're really into the rebuilding, they want prospects. And they want a lot of prospects. And Jonathan LaCroix could get you some prospects because he's a veteran catcher. But he's also now at that age. He's going to be 31 during the season. And catchers, usually when they're 30, 31, 32 years old, they start to break down. And Jonathan LaCroix had some injuries over the last couple of years. So, you know, he's trying to learn how to play different positions, first base, third base, maybe some outfield. But he definitely gives you a great presence behind the plate, and he gives you a pretty good bat, too. I mean, 304, mm-hmm. six home runs. He's been red hot over the last 9-10 games. So, but, yeah, if a team has a lot of prospects and you know, they want to win now, that's what it's going to take to get Jonathan LaCroix, because that's what the Brewers are asking.
And can Maldonado hold down a job until the prospect's ready? Can he be the number one guy? Or really, with a rebuilding club, it really doesn't matter that much. But
well, with a rebuilding club, Maldonado can get the job done. He's nowhere near a Jonathan LaCroix. You know, very few catchers in the league right now are. The thing is what the Brewers don't want to give up is that veteran catcher that's smart, knows how to call a great game. But Jonathan LaCroix is very good at that because you've got some great young pitching with the Brewers. And he's showing up in the bullpen and you know, Jimmy Nelson and some of these other guys. They're pitching very well. And Jonathan LaCroix is helping them become better at you know, what they do. I'm not sure if Maldonado would be able to do that. You'd have a different type. He doesn't call the game the way Jonathan LaCroix does. Now, the Brewers have a big prospect who's not ready. I think he's 2 years away from being ready. Nottingham down into minor leagues. He's struggling down into minor leagues, but they're big on him. And you know, I think if they move Jonathan LaCroix, it's just because it's just too good of a deal to pass up.
And Nottingham, that's the guy I think they got from the A's, correct?
Yes, they got him from the A's. They traded Chris Davis, who was, you know, he was like a Chris Carter, you know, not a big average home run hitter, no defense, no speed. So they got themselves a good deal. And like I said, that's all the Brewers are concerned about is just loading their minor leagues up with prospects and build from within and draft.
And that's the way a lot of teams are doing it now. That's the way you have to do it, I think, now. The day of the free agent, the free agent has become a fill-in guy now, where you can, unless there's, you know, a really huge name that comes on the market. But most of these guys now are just teams are building through the draft and everything and then filling in when they need a spot.
Well, that's it, you know, and last week the big rumor was that Ryan Braun was going to get traded to the Cubs. You know, the Cubs are off to a great start, but they're also still a young team, and they're going to have periods this season where they are going to struggle. They're not going to be winning games because of the, you know, inexperience and the youth, and they were looking for a veteran and a big bat, but, you know, that might still happen. You know, sometimes trades are talked about, and it takes a month or a month and a half to – you know, really work the deal. But that's the way the teams are building now, and the Brewers want to do it that way. You know, let's trade for good prospects, let's draft well, and something that the Brewers have never really done very well throughout their history is kind of develop their own players. You know, we've had great players that have come through the minor league systems, Rob Bunyal, Paul Molitor, guys like that. But more times than not, the great players that we've had have kind of come from somewhere else. So so that's what the Brewers are looking at. And, you know, hopefully they get it done right now. You know, everybody's excited about some of these young ball players, but I think in you know, another couple of years, you won't even remember who half these guys are.
So I don't even know who's playing in the infield anymore. I mean, other than Chris Carter, is Scooter Gennett still with the team? Is he at second, or is he up and down, or what's the deal with the Scooter?
Well, Scooter's still with the team. He is the everyday starting second baseman. He spent some time on the DL, and you know, he's batting .244. He's got 4 home runs, but only 5 RBIs. You know, Scooter's a fan favorite. You know, the Brewers are kind of looking at, you know, that's not the guy that they're going to have, you know, a couple of years from now. But he's a good ball player. And, of course, we have Aaron Hill over at third base, which is another just empty spot for the Milwaukee Brewers. They never did try to replace Aramis Ramirez. So Aaron Hill will be our third baseman this year. There's a couple of guys down in the minor leagues, but, you know, they're not ready. They're just not ready to come up. And, of course, at shortstop, we got VR, who's playing well. This is a kid, man, start looking at this kid because he's batting .284. He's got a home run. He leads the National League in stolen bases with 13. He's got speed. He's got a decent arm, good glove. But the Brewers have a guy down in the minor leagues right now that they're probably going to bring up in June, who they project is probably the next Robin Yount for the Milwaukee Brewers. He is their biggest prospect. His name is Orlando Arcia. And now he's struggling a little bit, but he's playing in Colorado Springs, which is high up in the mountains. So, you know, it's the weather. There's a lot of rainouts. It's cold, whatever else. But they're high on him. But right now, Villar is playing great at shortstop. And then we got Chris Carter over at first base, and we're all just like, yeah, Chris Carter, yay.
And by the way, Colorado Springs is opening up a 4-game set with the Las Vegas 51s. So if you've got that minor league package, you can check out not only the 51s for the Met fans, but you can check out Orlando Arcia as well for the Brewers fans. So go ahead.
And you don't even need the package. Well, you can watch it, but if you just want to listen to it, which is really the way to minor league baseball is better on the radio. Just go to TuneIn. It's all out there on TuneIn.com.
Oh, I find it so hard, though.
Oh, do you?
I try to do it with the Cyclones when they're on the radio, but it's just I have to I visualize things better.
Well, there you go.
All right, so the outfield, we've got Nieuwenhuis and Braun, and who's our left fielder out there for you guys?
Well, they've got the future of the Milwaukee Brewers, who's you know, batting .239, couple of home runs, 12 RBIs. His name is Domingo Santana, and now the Brewers are really high on him. He was the first guy that the new general manager, David Stern, who came from Houston, made the trade. He was part of the Carlos Gomez trade. The Brewers are high on him. He's learning. He's got some good upsides, good glove, good arm, good speed. He's got a decent bat. He's got power, supposedly. But, you know, this is his first real long look at in the major leagues, and he's not adjusting to how the other teams are adjusting to him. So, but, you know, he's okay. You know, if that's our future right now, you know, the future doesn't look good for the Milwaukee Brewers. If you take today's numbers, that may change, you know, because sometimes players really don't get hot until the weather gets hot. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, that's like I said, I hope they don't get hot until they leave New York. I hope it's a cold and chilly weekend.
Well, the pitching matchups would probably indicate that the Mets are going to do really well in this series.
Well, let's talk about that. We got Willy Peralta against Steven Matz tomorrow night. Peralta is, we've seen him before. Don't know what his record is against the Mets, but I think they've handled him pretty well.
Well, this year so far, he's 2-4. He's 7.30. He's struggling. He's struggling. Teams are just, they know what's coming when he's up on the mound. He's had one good game, and you know, that was two starts ago, and then he just fell apart again. You know, he could barely get onto the fourth inning when he pitches. I don't know. He's tipping his pitches. He's lost a little movement on his pitches. The velocity's down. You know, this is a guy 2 years ago won 17 games, and the Brewers looked at him as this is the guy. This is going to be the guy we're going to build a pitching staff around. And last year he had the injury, and then coming back he struggled. He struggled during the spring, but, you know, the Brewers thought if we throw him out there as our ace, maybe that will give him the confidence. And now over the last week, they're kind of looking at possibly sending him down to the minor leagues or maybe moving him out to the bullpen until he gets his confidence back. You know, it's just if he pitches the way that he's pitched for most of the season, the Mets are going to have a big night against him.
And Saturday we've got Zach Davies versus Jacob DeGrom.
I like that matchup because Jacob DeGrom is 3-1 at 2.50. I mean, the ERAs of the three pitchers for the New York Mets is just fantasy sports stratosphere. Zach Davies has struggled. He's 1-3, 5.58. He's one of the young guys that the Brewers are really high on. He just needs a lot of experience, and the only way they can get him the experience is they got to throw him out there and just let him get his bell rung, and it is getting rung big time. Now, on Sunday, Chase Anderson, 2.5, 5.32 ERA. He comes from the Diamondbacks. His last outing against the Cubs, he pitched almost a no-hitter. He was six outs away from a no-hitter. He seems to have gotten his stuff. He's a good fourth or fifth starter for the Milwaukee Brewers. He's got decent enough stuff. But, I mean, you're going up against Noah Syndergaard, 4-2, 2.19, or as we call him here in Milwaukee, Schneidergaard. He is awesome, man. Want that guy.
He is good, and he's quite the character, too. If you follow, he walked around Manhattan in a Thor costume and hailing cabs and all kinds of things, and it was... he was totally comfortable with the whole thing. So,
hey, you know what? If you're comfortable doing stuff like that, do it. You know, I mean, once I was a young man and I did stuff like that too. Now I don't.
And the strength of this team, really, you're saying, telling us, is the bullpen. And one guy out there that we're quite familiar with, and that's Carlos Torres. He's been having a pretty good year, right? Or did I read the wrong stats?
He struggled his first time out, and a lot of people, oh, man, you know, oh, boy, this guy sucks. You know, what's going on here? But he's turned it around. He's got a 3.86, pitched in 18 games. He's 0-1. Yeah, you know, he's getting the job done. The bullpen overall is getting the job done. Chris Capuano's pitched in 14 games out of the bullpen, 3.86. Jeremy Jeffries is just red hot. I mean, he's 10 out of 10 in saves, 2.50 ERA. Michael Blazek is 2.14 ERA in 21 games. Blaine Breuer is 1.74 in 17 games. Their bullpen is really doing well. Tyler Thornburg seems to have kind of figured some things out, and he got his first save today, by the way. 4.08 ERA in 18 games. He's one of those big young studs that the Brewers are really high on. It's their starting pitching has just struggled big time. The only starting pitcher that has really done well is Nelson, Jeremy Nelson. 3.07 ERA in 9 games. He's 4-3. This kid's got some stuff, man. He really does. But he's not pitching against the Mets, so.
Yay!
Yeah.
And I see that Matt Garza is on the DL.
Good.
He's on a 60-day DL. Boy, he's going to be out for a while, huh?
Yeah, he may be out for the rest of the season. There's just no upside. The Brewers, really, that was a bad contract, you know. But, you know, the Brewers at that time, Doug Melvin and all the other guys who were making this, they loved guys like Matt Garza. And they would bring him in, you know, guys like him in, and they would say, well, you know, he can win 14 games for us. We understand he's going to lose 14 games, and his ERA is going to be close to 5. But, you know, we're looking for that veteran presence, you know, just in case we make the playoffs. Well, you're not going to make the playoffs signing guys like him and Jeff Suppan and Randy Wolf and all the other ones that they have brought in that,
right,
you know, have struggled. And Matt Garza has just struggled as a Milwaukee Brewer. And, you know, he started the season off and he kind of said, well, I'm going back to what I was doing 5-6 years ago when I had a successful year. I'm going to hustle. I'm going to do all the homework. I'm going to be prepared. And people got excited. Oh, Matt Garza, he's ready to go. I'm kind of like, well, why didn't you do that last year, the year before? I mean, we gave you $15, $20 million and you're not helping us. That's another bad contract. And nobody wants that contract. So the Brewers are just going to have to eat that contract. If he comes back, they're talking about possibly using him as a long relief, maybe as a fifth starter, maybe out of the bullpen, or they may just cut him loose, pay him off, and just let him go.
Yeah, those big contracts just come back to bite you in the butt all the time, and we see it more and more every day now lately as time goes by. But like you said, it's a youngish team. There's some bright spots there, and at least they're playing better baseball than, let's say, the Twins.
Atlanta Braves.
Or the Atlanta Braves, and perhaps even better than the New York Mets as of late. But let's hope that we can turn that around this weekend. But it's going to be a good series, I think. It's always fun to see the Brewers come in. It's always fun to go out there and see Bernie go down the slide there. So
well, you know, the thing about Bernie the Brewer is if you watch the games, you see him go down the slide on the TV. If you're in the stadium, you don't see him because the way that it's designed, it's now really a water slide, because Wisconsin Dells, which is, I don't know, maybe 2 hours away, is the world's largest water park. So when you're in the stadium, you don't see Bernie go down the slide. So everybody just kind of, I think they ignore it more or less. You know, they kind of ruined that whole thing because he used to slide down a regular slide out of the Pabst house, and then he would slide down into a big stein of beer, and then the balloons would come out, and you could actually see him. Now you don't see him, but we have the racing sausages, so that's really cool.
That's right. The sausages are still racing there, and they're getting a lot of competition, though, with all across baseball, with the racing presidents now and all these other different things that they got going on. But there's still the original racing sausages only in Milwaukee.
You know, and the only thing that comes close to it is the Pittsburgh Pirates have the racing pierogies because of the large Polish population.
Yes.
So I like that. And I wish when the Pirates and the Brewers played that they would combine those two, because that would just be great. I mean,
I
would jump on the field and just eat them both.
So the new administration and now the very young general manager the Brewers have brought in, and do you see any difference in, we're just talking about the guys that they used to go get, Melvin and those guys used to sign those type of players. Do you see any major difference in what these guys are doing? And it sounds like they're on the right track, but what's your viewpoint on that?
Well, the thing that I like, and it's really too early to, you know, say, oh, he's doing a great job, because we haven't seen, I mean, we're seeing some of the players that he's brought in and made trades for and whatever else. I think the biggest thing is he's emphasizing that we need to have a very, very good minor league system. That's something the Brewers just they've had times where they've had talent in the minor league system. The Brewers, because they're such a small money team, we don't make a lot of money here in Milwaukee because we don't have the big broadcast network, and that's where the money's made. So they're now trying to figure out a way that they can help their minor league teams with the development of the players. And to me, that's a big plus because this guy, that's what he did in Houston and very successful, by the way. And I think that the whole mission statement of we want to develop our own players. And when we make trades, we either want a player of the same value that fits into how we play baseball, or we want prospects that fit into how we play baseball. To me, that's a big plus. Now, is this guy going to be here in 4 or 5 years when all this comes together? That's my biggest concern because he is young, and the Brewers, like I said, we're not a big money team. So anytime we get a coach or a manager that is good at what he does or a general manager, more times than not, that guy is going to take a bigger offer. You know, and if Stearns has some success here in Milwaukee doing what he does, you're going to have teams, big teams, they're going to want to do that. And they're going to come after him and throw a bunch of money at him. And if he leaves, there's no guarantee that the person who comes in is going to want to continue to do it that way. He may just say, well, we're going back to the old way. Let's just sign a bunch of broken down veterans and hope that a few of our, you know, minor league players work out.
Well, let's hope that that doesn't come about, that he does stay and gets them back on the winning ways and gets them back on track. Well, as always, it was great having you on the show. And go ahead, plug your whatever you want to plug.
Hey, there you go. It's called The Big Show. It's Brewtown Sports. We're on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter, it's Brewtown Sports. Facebook, it's Mr. Brewtown. You can listen to the show at baseballtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, Podomatic.com, PlayerFM.com, Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, and iTunes.com. And we're on the 405media.com, Super Live Talk and Righteous Podcast. You can email the show at MrBrewtown78. Yes, I know, folks, it's amazing. There's 77 other Mr. Brewtowns out there, but I'm the original at gmail.com. And if you like oldies, you know, good stuff, good rock and roll music, man, from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and the 1980s. Just go to radionomi.com and find cool oldies. It is fantastic. Johnny Cool, my good friend, Johnny Cool, he runs that station, and it is hot, man. It is hot.
All right. There you have it, the one and only, the world-famous Mr. Brewtown. And we'll be back right after this. 516-619-6341. That is the comment voicemail hotline. If you'd like to be a part of the show and drop us a line, leave us a comment or a voicemail question, anything at all, call that number, 516-619-6341, or go to MetsMusings.com and click on that widget in the middle of the screen, and that's a speak pipe, and you can leave a voicemail right through your computer through your computer's microphone. Or if you prefer to do things the old-fashioned way, send us an email at MetsMusings@gmail.com. The Facebook page is facebook.com/groups/MetsMusings. And the Twitter handle is @MetsMusings1. And if you'd like to help out the show, check out our Patreon page. Check out the campaign at patreon.com/MetsMusings. And we're back, and let's take a look at the minor leagues last night, as most of the teams were in action except for the Las Vegas 51s. They were idle on Wednesday as they prepare for a big four-game series against Colorado Springs. The 51s are 21-17, a game and a half out of first place in their division. Binghamton Mets, they're doing something a little crazy there, but let's get to the ball game first. Kelly Seacrest allowed 3 runs, 2 earned, and 2 1/3 innings as Double-A Binghamton lost to the Altoona Curve 6-1. Dominic Smith went 0-3. Binghamton is 16-21, and I don't know if you've seen this, but they want to rebrand the franchise next year and actually change the name of the franchise. But some of the names they've come up with are just plain stupid. Really, they're terrible names. One was the Stud Muffins, Rock Ponies. I mean, just awful names. Just leave it to Binghamton Mets. It's just I don't understand why they want to change something like that, but go check it out at the Binghamton website. I'm sure that they have it. They're having a contest to rename the team, and the names are horrible, the finalists. In St. Lucie, St. Lucie split a doubleheader with Clearwater, winning Game 1 3-0 and losing Game 2 4-2. Ricky Knapp threw a 7-inning, 3-hit shutout in Game 1, while Scarron Reyes allowed 4 runs in 3 innings. Champ Stewart was the only Mets player to record a hit in both games of the doubleheader. St. Lucie is 21-18 after that twin bill. And the Columbia Fireflies, Thomas McElrath, allowed 6 runs and 7 hits in 1 1/3 innings as Columbia lost to Rome 8-5. 4 Fireflies players recorded 2 hits. David Thompson drove in his 39th run of the season with his 14th double. Columbia is now 20-19 on the young season. So that's your minor league recap. Team's not doing as great as they did last year, but it's still a little early. And don't forget, I think it's 29 days or so before the rest of the affiliates get going. The Cyclones will be taking the field on June 17th against the Staten Island Yankees in Brooklyn. So be prepared for that one as the Cyclones kick their season into gear. And I hope you'll tune in to Cyclones Fevercast over the course of the New York Penn League season and follow the Cyclones to see how they're doing. Well, that does it for this edition of the podcast. This edition is brought to you by our Patreon supporters. If you would like to help in keeping this podcast going, I urge you to check out our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/Mets Musings. So thanks for listening to this episode, and until next time, keep the faith, stay optimistic, and let's go Mets!